Catholic Schools Week actually gets started January 27th and runs through February 2nd, but we're going to take the entire month of February to take a look at a very important ministry of St. Teresa's, and that is St. Teresa's School. Now, St. Teresa's School is currently in its 74th year of operation and is about to celebrate 75 years of serving God and educating the children of South Georgia. And so I thought we would take a look at the history of St. Teresa's School today. And nobody better than somebody who is well versed on the history of not only St. Teresa's Parish, but St. Teresa's School. And that is someone who I usually get to refer to as Captain. But today she's not a police officer. Well, she's always a police officer, but today she is here as parishioner extraordinaire Angel Bradford. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
You can scoot a little closer if you go. There you go. That's perfect. Get you close to that microphone. So, you were telling me that your family has been, going back generations in St. Teresa's for how long? Since when?
Since the fall of 1898.
1898. And that's not long after we started.
No, it wasn't.
What is the official start date of St. Teresa's? Because I know it's entwined in the history of the Civil War, and there was the postponing when it was used as the hospital and those kind of things. But when did we actually start as a church?
The church on residence was completed in 1865, and you're right, during the Civil War, it was used as a hospital for wounded Confederate soldiers. Prior to that building, the parishioners met in the home of John Valentine Mock, and they had mass there. When the church was completed in 1865, it didn't have a name. It was just always referred to as the Catholic Church. And it wasn't until like 20-something years later, on the 50th anniversary of John Valentine Mock's wedding anniversary, that the church was finally dedicated and given the name St. Teresa's.
Okay. That's good. All right, so let's move to the since we're talking specifically about the school, let's talk about 1945. Let's put ourselves into what was happening in 1945.
Well, obviously the end of World War II.
Albany was a much different place in 1945.
It was.
Certainly smaller, I'm trying to think of a good appropriate word here. Feeling the effects of what life in the South was like in 1945, its good parts as well as its prejudices. And as you know in your Catholic history, Catholics were right up there with folks that were prejudiced against by, a lot of different organizations and people, especially in the South, and even nationally, because when John F. Kennedy became president, that was a huge deal. The people say, could a Catholic become president? Catholics, I guess you could say, suffered our own kind of persecutions and prejudices, and especially perhaps at that time, which makes the fact that that booklet that you showed me earlier about the dedication of St. Teresa School even more amazing, that the community really rallied behind the establishment of and the growth of St. Teresa School.
I think everyone, even way back then, nationally, if not internationally, recognize the value and the worth of Catholic education.
And so what makes Catholic education different? Obviously the religious aspect.
It's Christ-centered.
Yeah.
But they don't just teach Catholicism. It's not for just Catholics or Catholic children. Most of the Catholic schools that you look at are 50-50 or more non-Catholic.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go back to 1945, St. Teresa's is at that time located in that beautiful old structure that's down on Residence Avenue, which still stands today.
It does.
Let's see, we're using it once a week now, right?
Wednesdays at noon.
Wednesdays at noon, and of course for weddings and special occasions, funerals, and things like that. But it is still, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not, doesn't it hold the distinction of like the longest church building in continuous use since... In the state of Georgia. That's pretty amazing, too.
It is.
So it's still there. So that's where St. Teresa's was, downtown on Residence Avenue, right there. You know, I like to call it Church Alley, because all the churches are down there in that general area downtown.
The founder of Albany, Nelson Tiff, gave each denomination a parcel to build a church on. Everyone except the Baptists, because they already had a lot.
Okay. So we were there, right at the corner of... right on Residence Avenue, and have you ever done any look into what was going on in the minds of the parishioners of the day for opening up a school?
I have not, but I can tell you that in the early 1900s, that Albany was the headquarters of the largest mission parish in the United States.
Wow.
We had four priests that covered 22,000 square miles. Now, remember, this is the early 1900s, so they're covering this on horseback.
Right.
Later, in cars, you know, no windows.
No air conditioning.
no heater. Uh-huh. You know, top speed, maybe 8 miles an hour. So, I mean, can you imagine covering that kind of territory and that kind of vehicle?
And it's not like it's on highways either.
No, this it was is, not.
So it was not an easy haul for sure. So there we are. That's kind of the situation of what's going on in 1945. The school opens. It is the first private school to open in Albany, Georgia, of any kind.
Exactly.
So let's go there. How many students when we first opened up?
33.
And that was in a school that ranged from what? What were the grades?
Kindergarten through sixth grade.
Kindergarten through sixth. And one of the things that people talk about with Catholic schools is, you know, or they always associate historically, is that they were run by nuns. And that is the truth here for St. Teresa's as well.
Father Burke, everybody remembers Father Daniel Burke. He brought down sisters from Pennsylvania, Adorers of the Precious Blood. Four of them, plus their Mother Superior, came down from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It was a 22-hour trip for them from Pennsylvania to Savannah. And Father Burke went and picked them up in Savannah to bring them back to Albany. And you should read the story of that trip from Savannah to Albany. It's hysterical. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Oh, wow.
They had car trouble. It was heat. They were driving into the afternoon sun. And they finally got here around midnight.
Mm.
And I'm sure amazing. They were ready to go back to Pennsylvania.
So take us through a little bit of what school was like back. Not that you remember personally.
No, ma'am.
Her family's been here since 1890, not her. So what was the day like? I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, this was not the kind of thing where, you know, we have a nice modern cafeteria or anything like that. I mean, they're bringing lunches to school.
There
right?
are. The children are bringing their lunches. And every Wednesday, the parents would come to the school and cook hot dogs for the children.
Really?
The kindergarten classroom, it was referred to as the hut, actually had a small kitchen in it. And they went in there and cooked hot dogs for the children.
The parents did that.
The parents.
That's awesome. I wonder if that kind of thing would fly today.
It should.
Yeah.
They should want that kind of involvement.
Bring all the parents down here. Let's cook hot dogs. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be. All right. So there we are. We're in kindergarten through grade six downtown. And it wasn't a new building, was it?
It was an old building. It was an old house that sat at the corner of Jefferson and Residence.
Okay, so it was right next door to our old church.
Well, you had the school, you had the convent, the church, and then the rectory.
Okay. All right, so obviously this old house, this old building, we were going to outgrow that quickly, because St. Teresa's School, in terms of popularity, it caught on pretty well.
It did. As a matter of fact, it caught on so quickly that they outgrew the building. And they had a waiting list for many of the grades. And one father came to Sister Louise, she was the first principal, and he says, "Please find a place for my child in your first grade." And she said, "We had neither the room nor the desk." And he went out and bought a desk and chair, brought it back to the school, and he says, "Now?" And his sister found a place for the child.
That's an interesting concept. Can you imagine that? A parent wanting their child in the school so bad, it's like, "Okay, I'll go get the desk. I'll go get the chair."
Yeah, you find a place to put it.
Stick her in a corner. Well, she'll be good.
Exactly.
Wow, that's dedication.
It is.
That's pretty neat. So we've outgrown that. So that, about 7 years later, I guess 1952?
Right.
The school opened a brand new facility, which is located where the school is today. And it's that 1952 facility is incorporated into the campus as it stands today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. We mentioned food. It had a cafeteria.
It did, and for the first time, these kids could get a hot meal at lunch.
Wow.
And what was the first meal? According to my grandmother.
Yes.
I'm sorry. According to my mother.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Mom.
We can't edit that out. I'm so sorry.
But according to my mom, they were so excited about getting a hot meal. The first meal was lima beans and cornbread.
Lima beans and cornbread.
So be careful what you wish for.
I'd like to go back to the hot dogs myself. Lima beans and cornbread. Okay. So, you showed me pictures. You brought this wonderful booklet, and it's of the dedication of the 1952 school building. And there's pictures there of your great-great-uncle and your grandfather grilling chicken as a fundraiser to build the school.
Absolutely. And I love looking at that picture because it brings back such memories. Not of being there.
I was going to say, you were not there.
No, but my grandfather, he was always famous for his grilling. That was what he was known for, his barbecue and his grilled chicken and his Boston cream pies. He was famous for that.
Now, how much money do you reckon they raised grilling chicken?
I can't even imagine.
Well, it's like, could we have, like, if you'll pardon the expression, a chicken wing of the school? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That was a bad joke. I apologize. All right, so... So it's 1952. We're still at kindergarten through sixth grade. Is that right?
No, they had added a sixth and seventh grade by then. Seventh and eighth grade.
So seventh and eighth grade is there, which is where we stayed for a long time.
Yes.
But we're gonna get to the expansion of grades here shortly. All right. So 1952, the new campus opens, and it is. Now the church has not moved out here where the school is.
Not yet.
The church is still downtown. Church does not come out here to Edgewood Lane until when?
1958.
Which is after a second expansion after a first expansion of the school.
That's correct.
And then let's see, 1957 was an expansion. Next expansion would come when?
I don't know the exact date, but when they added the McCormick Room, and that was through the generosity of the McCormick family,
mm-hmm.
and then they built the gym.
Okay, so
and that would have been in the 70s,
right?
I just don't know the exact.
Well, there was one in the 60s, was there an expansion?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, 50s, 60s, 70s, and then a period of standing still, and then the 2000s, which we'll get to shortly. All right, so we now have the church out on Edgewood Lane, came out in 1958. The school is on Edgewood Lane. It's expanded a couple of times. Expanded because we have, like you said, waiting lists and people waiting to come in. People liked our sisters, didn't they?
They did. They loved them.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job. The sisters, you know, as the years go by, one of the things you always hear about in terms of, well, not just schools, but, you know, in the entire Catholic faith, is the shrinking numbers of religious, both priests and sisters and so on. And that certainly happened here, as the number of sisters from from Pennsylvania, the order that was staffing our school, dwindled down to basically the last two. There were only two at one time.
There were.
So that means that the makeup, the remainder of the teachers and all, were lay people or non-religious people. How does that, if at all, change a Catholic school if it's not being taught by the nuns with the steel rulers and all that kind of stuff?
I remember those steel rulers.
You remember those steel rulers? You did not step out of line. No.
You didn't even cross your eyes or take a deep breath.
Don't you miss those days?
I do now that I can sit back and watch.
Yeah, now that we can see what happens without them.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, let's go back to the original question. Talking about the shrinking, the lay people, does it change the way Catholic school operates?
It doesn't, but I think it changes the perception that people have.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Catholic education, you automatically think of the sisters. And you wonder what could possibly happen. How could you have a Catholic school without sisters? But the truth is that we have been and continue to be blessed with extraordinary, dedicated, devoutly Catholic lay teachers, mm-hmm. who continue to instill that into the children.
They get not just the academics, but they do get a little bit of religious instruction or moral instruction, wouldn't you say?
They have religious classes every day, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They have Mass every Tuesday. They have a school Mass. Father Ray and Father Chris are very visible in the school, which is a good thing. They need to see the priest.
Sure.
And they Absolutely. Need to be able to identify with the priest. But they do. They get, because of the quality of the teachers, they see the gospel in action.
So going back to expansion, we stayed at grades K, kindergarten through eighth grade, for a long, long time. And if you could say that there was ever a complaint about St. Teresa's, it wasn't so much what St. Teresa's was, but it was what St. Teresa's wasn't, which was a place where you could send your child from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. There was no Catholic high school. And so typically, parents might send them to one of the other private schools in town, or they might send to one of the public schools in town. And without trying to be a slam on any of the public schools, it was a different experience.
It was culture shock.
Yes.
I know it was for me. When I went to St. Teresa's, when the teachers asked a question, you raised your hand, you stood up, you waited to be recognized.
Sure.
You stood up and you answered in a complete sentence. So now, fast forward, I'm in a public school and the teacher asks a question and I'm raising my hand and everybody's just shouting out the answers and I'm thinking, oh, we're going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, there was
a totally different experience.
Absolutely. When a teacher or one of the religious, whether it was a sister or one of the priests, came in the room, we all rose in unison, and it was, good morning, Mrs. So-and-so, good morning, Sister So-and-so, good morning, Father So-and-so,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Not so much in the public schools, huh?
Not at all. Not at all.
Not so much. So that would be the one complaint, like I said, about not what we were, but what we weren't. And, you know, over the years that has, you know, I guess you could say there's been a groundswell of support to expand St. Teresa's into the high school years. And finally, that has happened. It started, just a year or two ago? 2017. We added grades 9 and 10, which is halfway through high school. Then this past year, 2018,
grade 11,
and get this, I mean, is this like serendipity here? Next year, 2020, the 75th anniversary year, we will add grade 12.
Is that amazing or what?
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
To celebrate the 75th anniversary, we'll be complete from K through 12, and the thing that, you know, people have asked for so many years is here, a complete Catholic parochial school experience from kindergarten all the way through grade 12.
It's amazing. I'm so excited. It almost makes me want to go back to high school. Almost.
Well, you could. Have you thought about teaching?
Well, you know, it has in the back of my mind been back there. That was a possibility, but I don't know.
So, so let's talk about this. If you know, what took us so long to become a high school? I mean, it's not cheap. I understand that. There was, you know, of course. You have a little building to do, a little expanding to do, and it's not just as easy as opening doors.
And this is my personal opinion.
Okay.
I think we missed the window of opportunity when it was first presented. I don't know if it was, you know, fear of the unknown or not quite willing to make that leap.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was, when I went to St. Teresa's, and this would have been back in the, you know, late 60s and the 70s. You know, we had two classrooms for every grade. Every classroom was maxed out at 30 kids. So you had that filter to build on. And then when we lost the sisters, there were other things that happened. The economy, as you know, tanked. We used to get four buses from the Marine base. Two from the Marine base and two from the Navy base. That's 48 kids a bus.
Right.
Full. Yeah. You know, we lost that. So our numbers dropped significantly. And that window was no longer there. We lost that window of opportunity. And now, through the, I don't want to say ability to predict the future, but the willingness to step out.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to Father Burke. We have a pastor now, Father Ray Levereau, who saw the potential and was willing to take the risk.
So it's kind of like, as you mentioned, the way it was when the school first began. It's like taking a look, seeing the potential for growth in the future, and being willing to step out, take that chance, and it's paying off.
It will pay off in dividends in the future. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it already is because, you know, we started with the toes were in the water, as they say, with grades 9 and 10, adding 11, and it's like, okay, we're good. We're going. The momentum is there. So let's talk about this. I don't know how much you know about this. Susie Hatcher was on one of our episodes earlier, and we were talking about, you know, we do offer some scholarships for students who might not be able to pay the tuition, and that is available. And I believe that, like, now this is the time of year when people start applying for that.
Yes. And you have the Grace Scholars, that money is out there, that's available.
Mm-hmm.
We have financial aid. All they have to do is approach Ms. Hatcher or, you know, Father Ray, and talk about what they can honestly afford to pay.
All right, so 75 years coming up in September of 2020, and we have a lot of things that are planned that will be sort of ramping up for a celebration, I guess, over the entire year, really, you know, I hope.
Yeah.
And we look forward to a big celebration next year. Angel, thank you so much for coming in and taking us on a guided tour of the past of St. Teresa School.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it.